Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I thought a lot about what to say today, and I was going to try to be really profound. Then I changed my mind. I'm going to just share some memories with you and then end with a little bit of a reflection on my belief. It took a lot to get me here. Most of you don't know this, but there were two other churches I was assigned to. And it didn't work out. May I say, because of male ego? Yes, I may say so. But we're thanking God today, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Two big churches. And then the Tuesday before I was to come here, they told me where I was coming. And I met the Staff Parish Relations Committee. And they interviewed me on Tuesday. And at the end of that interview, Esther Campbell pinned a corsage on me. Do you remember that, Esther? I wasn't sure about this appointment, but then Lance and I were driving around and I saw two daddies pushing a stroller. And I said, these are my people. It put my heart at rest for a moment. My first Sunday, John Lee preached for me because I met them on Tuesday. I didn't think it was appropriate for me to jump up on Sunday without at least being introduced somewhat. There were 40 people here. Most of those people have gone on to God's promise. When I got here, there were no children. There were a couple of, there was Ian, and a couple of other kids who were kind of around the 10, 11-ish age. There were no little ones. The committees had pretty much stopped meeting. The choir was teeny and didn't sing all the time. But people started to come, and when they came, I begged. The first people I begged were the Conroys. They had little children. I begged. And fortunately for me, Brian's married to Christy, so they stayed. And I said, if you would just stay so that when people come, they will see children, you can be part of what we do here. And they stayed. And so Emma was my first infant baptism. Emma sang through every service when she was a baby. She sat down here, and as we sang, she hollered. That's one of my best memories. In those first few years, we said goodbye to a lot of people. And a lot of the people who are sitting here today are people who said goodbye to people. All the saints that went on. And I just want to tell all of you that I have been honored to be with you as your loved ones went on to God's promised. It was an absolute joy and honor to know every single one of the people that you had to say goodbye to. Most of you now in this new congregation don't know Elwin Ashford, but I cannot, after 11 years, do anything without mentioning Elwin Ashford. When I got here, he was in the chair downstairs in the office. He was already in his 80s. He had been sitting in that chair since retirement for 40 years. He was the treasurer. He counted the money by himself. He did all the books on graph paper and pencil. And when I came in, I changed a lot of things. And he struggled, but was gracious most days. When I came in the morning, he said, hi, hun. When anybody was around that was a church member, he called me Betty Jo. But when anybody came into the office to see me, or it was official business, he said, "Pastor, you have someone here." I figured the Hun was part of the whole generational thing and not worth the effort for the fight, because I had to fight him on a few other things like computers. He was not happy. But he was an absolute saint in this church. Mariah Hayden was my first student minister. Lover, still lover. We were so much alike that there were days we almost killed each other. Yeah, Carrie and she are best friends, and Carrie shaking her head. Two peas cut right from the same pod. But I mention her also because one of my great memories is the discussion we had as this congregation to be accepting of Malcolm and Mariah. And if you don't know what that means, you can ask around. But it was a glorious moment in the beginning of an unbelievable journey as a congregation. All the early youth groups, all of them grown up now, Michael and Christina and their constant love of these children, Marilyn Devlin and Marge Cowie going off to visit people. When I first got here, they took me with them, and they introduced me to everybody, and we took communion. And I'll never forget Leon Tibbett saying, "You can have communion in your house?" She lived to be, what, 100? 102? Old. That was glorious, glorious moments. Another great moment, and I should have, the Warners aren't here today, they came yesterday, but I want to say that one of the pivotal moments was confirmation, but even more importantly, that when Jack Warner, as a confirmand, decided he did not want to join the church, everyone supported him, and he came that day and supported his fellow travelers. That's who we are. Okay, and Eric Franklin. Okay, so I ask Eric and Tammy if they would witness to their faith. Tammy gets up and does this tearful, beautiful soliloquy about her travels through her years as a Catholic and now here, and it was really moving. I was sitting there. Then Eric leaned into the microphone and said these exact words, "I'm here because Pastor Betty Jo doesn't care if I believe in God." Very moving. And also very true. I want to say that this church is filled with Christian agnostics. You are my favorite people because you bring the questions. You bring the questions, but you don't give up the search. And there's a whole bunch of you, mostly men. There's a whole group of you. I thought you should start like a Christian agnostic support group. I remember a day many years ago when I also saw what a kind of a congregation we are. Fred Phelps from Topeka, Kansas, that hate monger, that horrible, horrible, sinful man, showed up here to protest, which we thought was actually a sign we were doing things right. And he came, and he and his horrible group marched around on the Sunday of our children's Christmas program. So all these parents are coming in with video cameras, and they're out there with all those horrible signs, carrying the American flag upside down, which went over really well with some of the veterans, and horrible things about Satan and Santa Claus and 9/11. I mean, it just was beyond belief. And this congregation came through, didn't say anything, but here was the moment. Lance and a few of the men were in the parking lot escorting people into the congregation, particularly the women, so that they could get through the protest lines. And two of the policemen said, "Policemen, this makes us sick." One said, "My son is gay." The other said, "My brother is gay." "Policemen, I love this church." Another moment was Ethan Conroy. He was about, what, four at the time? We had had a baptism, so we weren't having children's time, which I don't remember exactly why, but I was like a one-man show back then. I did everything, children's time, baptism, blah, blah. I just jumped up and down. And so I came out here to do prayer time, and Ethan was still here, and he thought it was children's time. And he took off out of the pew to run up, and Brian tried to grab him, but he got away. And he came up and he stood next to me and I said, "Do you want to pray with me, guy?" And he said, "Yes." And he stood next to me while we did joys and concerns. And then I said, "Do you want to kneel with me at the rail?" And he said, "Yes." And he knelt with me at the rail. I love this church. We held fundraisers for the tsunami and Katrina in the parking lot for the whole neighborhood, raised thousands of dollars for UMCOR. Every adult class, every person who's come to it, all those incredible discussions about the shack that seemed like it went on forever, the book that had no end, everything that we ever studied together, the mission trip, that first adult mission trip, what a wonderful group of people. We had a glorious time. I highly recommend it. But I will tell you, even more than getting to serve, we were served. The native people taught us about their lives. They invited us into their lives. They told us of the atrocities, and then with a smile, they forgave us for the things that they are still enduring. It was really very profound and meaningful. Well, and I can't not tell you some of the other moments. When I first got here, I fell off the chancel and hurt my back, and that took about 14 months to heal. And then I fell up the stairs in the parsonage and landed into a metal rack and scraped my body up. And then I fell down outside on the concrete just recently and smashed my face and had to go to the hospital. I looked an awful lot like Jack. And but my favorite, most of you don't know this, this goes back a few years, is the hot cider incident. Brian and Christy are nodding. We had a hanging of the greens party. We put up the tree on a Friday night. We played Christmas music, the kids were here, we ate cookies, and I went into the little kitchen and I boiled us some cider and poured it into a lead glass bowl that exploded. So the bottom of the bowl hit me on the left foot, causing it to bruise, but the best part was the right foot was up to 3 inches of boiling hot cider. So my foot instantly swelled up and I had like third degree burns. Brian kicked it into paramedic mode because I said, "Where's the butter?" And he said, "No, where's the ice?" And I told him that I had on my jeans that I get dry cleaned, and Brian said, "Then you deserve this." Because nobody dry cleans their jeans. Just one pair. So they stay blue. I don't do it anymore. You embarrassed me. That was my favorite. The highlight for me of all the years here was both the Claiming the Promise Bible study, where over 50 of you committed to coming and becoming a reconciling congregation. There are no words for what it means to be in an inclusive community. And I pray that you will keep me in your prayers as I go to a place where the people are kind and good, but are not quite in the same place. The Born This Way Ball was a highlight. Another way of saying, this is really who we are. We're serious. We really mean it. Brandon, Ivan, having a statement of welcome that you really mean. To have all these glorious God's children every baptism of two mommies, every time we have shared the word together. It has been meaningful. There were days when I went home and said to Lance, that was a dud. But somebody had come up to me and said, that was great. Somebody hears God, and for that I am grateful. I am grateful for every one of Sheldon's amens. Amen. The music, all the music, every note of the music over the years. The baptisms, all the baptisms. Does today make 58? Or today makes 58 baptisms since I got here. And the staff. Every member of the staff over the years. Pastor Shar and Mariah and Elmira. Remember Elmira, our first pianist who died right after I got here from a brain tumor. And Tammy and everybody who's tinkled the keys. And Sonia and Jackie and the organ and Bev Busey and Carrie. And every single note that has been sung is so meaningful to me. The staff, Sheena. When Paul wrote to his churches, he always wrote with a greeting and he always ended with a benediction. And here is one of his benedictions from 2 Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. A lovely benediction. Lovely. But not as good as mine. You know I'm kidding. The benediction that I use is a summation of my entire belief in theology. And I have used it every single time. I don't deviate from it. And sometimes you say it with me. Well, today it is our benediction. It is our final benediction together. But I want to say that what I mean when I say those words is, the God who created you out of pure love, I mean pure love, not partial love, not a sometimes love, not a judgmental love, a love for not for some and not for others, a conditional love, a testing love to see if you get love right, not a you are going to hell love, pure love, pure love. And Jesus Christ, who redeemed us when he showed us how to love, love your neighbor as yourself. Love others as I have loved you. I will walk to the cross for what is right. That kind of love. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I would sacrifice my very life for the integrity of God's love. That kind of God. There is nothing that can separate you from me. That kind of love. Woman, your faith has made you well. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, I do. That kind of love. Jesus redeemed us with this holistic love. When we think of how Jesus redeemed our lives, we have to start at the moment he took his first breath all the way to today. That's what I mean when I say he redeemed us when he showed us how to love. This holistic Jesus. Not any one moment, not any one thing, not even just the cross, but every single decision that led to it. He taught us how to love. And the power of the Holy Spirit, that which we have experienced every single Sunday together for 11 years, that which continues to create us anew and will continue to create you anew, that which is powerful, forceful, that infinite possibility for a future that is truly God's dream for the world, it is the authority for our lives today. And we go with us now and forever. and forever. Forever. Thank you all for every moment you have shared together with me. I ask that you keep your faith and live with courage. The world still needs for you to be very brave. You have to live on the edge. If you aren't living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. I want you to love Pastor Brad and care for him. Care for Pastor Carrie and Ivan and Sarah and Brandon. I ask you, please, to tend my sheep. Amen.